Let's turn in our Bibles, brethren, to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. I want to speak for a little while this morning on the subject of the nature of sin. The nature of sin. You're bombarded every day with sin. You see in this country and you see around the world, nations are legalizing sin that before was not legal, even among men. And not only are they legalizing certain sins, but they are strongly opposing men who do not agree with those sins. If you speak about the Word of God and what God's Word say, they'll call you a hate monger. They'll say that you're not being loving and you're being a bigot and you're being a racist and all sorts of hateful names they'll label you with. But I want to show you something about sin, the nature of sin. And a very simple outline, my first point will be that all sin comes from the lust of the human heart, the lust of the fallen heart. Number two, all sin that's committed is committed by a choice, a deliberate choice. All sin. And then thirdly, I want to show you the two ways that sinners are restrained from doing what they otherwise would do from that sinful, polluted heart. All right, here's the first point. All sin that men commit comes from the lust of the sinful heart. Every sin that men commit, it starts, it has its origin in the heart of a man, in the lust of the heart. Now let's look at Matthew 15, verse 19. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And He's showing us here that no matter what sin it is, it all starts in the heart. Verse 19, out of the heart. And when you hear the word heart, it means the flesh, it means the sin nature, it means that polluted seat of affections that's in a man, that polluted sinful seat of affection that makes you do what you desire to do. That's what He's talking about. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. They all come from within you and me. They come there from there because when Adam didn't have sin in the garden, but when he sinned in the garden, sin entered in. His nature became defiled. And we got his nature being born of Adam. So this is the nature we're born with. This is the heart we're born with. You know, when you're a child, your lust consists of you want that rattler that your mother took from you. So you'll throw a tantrum for it. The lust of your heart is you want that lollipop that somebody has that you don't have. Those kinds of lusts. But as you grow older, those lusts become more evil. Lust, you become a teenager and all of a sudden you're lusting for things you never lusted for before. There's thoughts in your heart you didn't have before. It's evident token to you that we're not getting better in our flesh. We're getting worse in our flesh. I know of a man in Tennessee that was up in his 80s. And he was in a home where they took care of him. And when he died, I know the firefighters that had to go in and work on him in his room. And they went in there to where his room was. This man who everybody thought was just such a kind, gentle, just a perfect old man. He'd just grown to put away all his sin and was just such a kind, righteous man. He had the most vile collection of pornography that you could imagine in his room. Body-wise, way beyond acting on his lust. But it's proof that the lust of the heart was just worse than ever. They're still there. It's out of the heart that these lusts come. Now, Look over at James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and look at verse 14. We can't blame God for these lusts. There's nobody to blame for these lusts but us. James chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom that men call wisdom, this lust, this envy, he's being sort of sarcastic in what he's calling it here. These lusts descend not from above. They didn't come from God, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. That's what we became in the fall. You remember that picture in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth? And the next verse says, shows us something happened. The world was out without form and void. It fell into confusion. That's the picture here. When we fail, we fell into confusion, into every evil work. And it says, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above. Now, there is some wisdom God gives. There's a new nature God gives. There's a new heart God gives. There's a new spirit God gives. A new man created within these bodies of death when He comes and works in grace. And when He gives wisdom from above, it's first pure. That means it's without sin. It's holy. It's anything God creates is holy and righteous. That's why Paul made that exception in Romans 7 when he said, I know that in me. He said, now wait a minute, let me not charge God with folly. He said, that is in my flesh. In that part of me that's of Adam, there's nothing good. But now here James says, but that wisdom that comes from God that's in the new man is pure. It's pure. Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, here's what I want you to get from this first point. Simply because you have lust in your heart, you have these desires in your heart to do something that God says is sinful. The world may say it's legal. God says it's sinful. Well, just because you have these desires in your heart, and they may be so powerful that you feel like you don't have a choice, but just because they're so powerful in your heart, and they come forth and you do them, you act upon them. Is that an excuse to simply say then, well, I was born this way, I can't help it. It's just how I was, just how I am. I'm born this way, I can't help it that I'm this way. You're that way, I'm this way. It's how I was born, I can't help it. Is that an excuse? No. No, it's not. And I'm fixing to make a point and show you, and I hope you'll get it. All right, here's the second thing. All acts of sin are a deliberate choice. All acts of sin are a deliberate choice. They're committed because the sinner chooses to commit them. All of them. All of them. All right, James 1. James 1. Look at verse 13. I don't want you to take my word for it. Look at God's word. James 1:13. And you see, the Word of God says this. This is why the world does not want the Bible brought up. This is why the world wants religion, true religion, cast down. Because they hear this and they know this is what God says, and it pricks the conscience. And man don't want to, it's no fun committing acts of sin when there's religion nearby. The preacher comes around, he just puts a damper on everything. He's a party pooper. That's why folks don't call the preacher all the time and have just talk and carry on. That reminds me of my sin. He reminds me of my sin. Look here now. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. That is, when these lusts come about and you're tempted to do that which is evil. He says, don't say that's God tempting you. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. God is sovereign. He does what He will, and He's not moved by second causes. He does what He will. Now, a lot of times, men that know something about sovereign grace will use the excuse that and blame God's sovereignty. Well, God's sovereign. If he didn't want me doing this, he'd stop me. Don't blame God for your sin. No. He's not the one that's making you sin. No. All right, look, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away. Drawn away from what? From God. From truth. From that which God says is right. When he's drawn away of his own lust. There it is, the heart. And he's enticed. It's in his heart. He sees something that entices that lust and makes that lust want to act. Like, remember Eve? She saw this tree. A tree that was desired to make one wise. And Eve lusted after it. She wanted that tree. She wanted that fruit. Look, then when lust has conceived, that means when it's brought forth its child now, its act, it bringeth forth sin. It bringeth forth sin. The act is committed now. You see, this is not of God, he said. He said, God's not making a man do this. The lust is in his own heart. The enticement's in his own heart. And so the conception is in his own heart. And it brings forth sin, the act of sin from his own heart. It's his choice. Do you see this? He's doing it because he wants to do it. It's a deliberate act. God didn't say, Adam, take that fruit. Adam took the fruit. And we take the fruit. God doesn't make you sin. You sin because you want to, and so do I. Now look here. Then when it's finished, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. It always brings forth death. All sin brings forth death. Our bodies are dying because we're sinning. We have lust in our heart, and we're sinning, and we're killing our bodies. You can get on the Whole 30 diet and do it for the whole 365 if you want to. It ain't going to stop you from dying because you're killing yourself. Our sins are killing us. That's why we're growing more decrepit and more wrinkled, and we're just going to go back to the dust. We're killing ourselves by our sins. Now, there are some acts of sin that are even much worse. God says your sin will find you out. If you touch fire, you are going to get burned. And the hotter the fire, the worse you're going to get burned. And there are some sins that will cause your body to hurt worse than other sins. And when you start trying to stop that, it's going to hurt your body more than you can understand. It's going to hurt you so badly that you hardly can't stand it, because that's what sin does. And some reprehense of your sin will be so bad that you can't ever cure it. AIDS, venereal diseases, things like that. Nothing you can do about it. What I'm saying to you is sin's going to result in death. It's always going to result in death. If you could see the end death and how bad it'll be from the very beginning, you'd understand how bad that is. And I'm going to show you this. Don't let me forget this. But everything that's good, verse 17, it comes down. The perfect gift comes down from above. It comes from the Father of lights, with whom's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now let me illustrate what I'm showing you here now. You know this murderer that went into the theater, the last one that went into the theater down in Lafayette, Louisiana, and he killed those people in that theater. Well, that began with a lust in his heart. He began to think about it. He began to lust after murder. He wanted to murder. This was lust in the heart. Did you just hear what Christ said? What comes out of the heart? Murder. Just like adultery, just like fornication, just like homosexuality, just like bisexuality, just like any kind of sin, drunkenness, whatever, abusing prescription painkillers, it all comes out of the lust of the heart. That's where it comes from. And he thought about murder for a while, and it got so strong in his heart that he said, I've got to act on this. Deliberate choice. Drove from the Alabama-Georgia line 500-something miles to Lafayette, Louisiana. That, my friends, is a deliberate choice. Got him some disguises, and they found in his hotel room so he could get away after he had done it, and nobody knew who he was. That's a deliberate choice. went into this theater, sat in the back so no harm would come to him. That's a deliberate choice. And then started shooting people. Started killing people. And the only reason he didn't escape was because when he went outside, he saw the police were already there. And so he went back inside and killed himself. That started in his heart. A lust so strong he couldn't control it. A lust so strong he felt like, this is just what I have to do. I have no choice. And so he did it. Now we see the immediate death that it caused, don't we? Murder is easy to see the immediate death. Sin, when it has brought forth, come forth in the act, it brings forth death. We see the immediate death in that, right? Now let's take homosexuality, for example. Homosexuality, if the whole world went into it, eventually the human race would die out because we won't produce any more people. Eventually we'd get diseases because God would see to it, and we would come to where we would just all be a bunch of, what would be left would be just shriveled up to death. And then we'd all die. Now, if you could just see that right now, as much as you can see that murder right now, you'd see, oh, I see now, changing the natural use to fit the lust of my heart is going to bring forth death. It is an act of my choice, and it is going to bring forth death. I see that now. Now, let me ask you something else. Would we do this? Would we say, well, now, that murderer, that was his choice. He had freedom of choice. That was his choice. He had the right to do that. He was born that way. That was his lust. He wanted to do that. He couldn't help himself. That's how he was born. You're that way. He was that way. We shouldn't condemn him. We ought to pass a law and make murder legal. And if you don't agree with it, you ought to be condemned. No, you say, that's foolish. That's hurting somebody else. So is every other sin. Homosexuality included. It's all hurting somebody else. That's why it's sin. It's against God and it's against man. It's against God, it's against a man's own person, and it's against your fellow man. All sin is that way. And if you could see the immediate death it brings forth, you'd see just how bad it is. Scripture says, because God delays judgment, men's hearts say, well, this is all right. I'll just go on with it. This won't hurt anybody. I'm not hurting anybody else. I have the right to do this. You have the right to go to hell. You have the right. And if you go through life making excuses for the lusts of your flesh and the acts of sin that you deliberately choose to do, you will have nothing but the right to hell. And that's where you'll go. That's where you're going to end up. All right, now. What we see today then, Romans 1:24. Let me go back there before we move on. Why do we see today so much going on in the world like it is? And people condoning it, and it just appears like the world's gone crazy. Well, God said in the end of the last of the last days, the Lord said He's going to make the irreligious beast of the world. He calls it a beast, using symbolic language. He said He's going to make the irreligious beast and the false religious beast. They're going to oppose each other for a little while. Then they're going to unite. And they're going to oppose God's true people. What's going to happen is, right now, the whole world's favoring homosexuality and, you know, legalizing marijuana and just everything else. And it just, let's just get free. We kill babies and we let killers go free, and you know, let's get this thing just down to where everybody's free to do what you want to do. God's out of it. Let's get him out of this thing. And that's where everything's going. And what'll happen is churches oppose it for a while, false religion oppose it for a while. But you know, if you got a business and all your clients decide they like this taste over here and they don't like the taste you're serving anymore, then what you're going to have to do to stay in business is start serving that taste they like so you can get them back and you can stay in business. And that's what churches will do. They got to keep that machine of big business religion running And so they will call it contemporary worship. That means worship that fits the contemporary age. God doesn't change. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning with God. His gospel's the same from age to age, and we don't change it. We just preach it. But the false religion will change it. Isaiah called it variable changes of raiment, changes of clothing. Well, that's what's happening. Why is this happening? Romans 1:24. God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now, did God put uncleanness in them? Did God have to put something in them to make them unclean, to give them up to this? Through the lust of their own hearts. No, God just took the restraint off. Let them do what was already there. The lust of their own heart. This is shocking to some people. I'm going to tell you this. The same man that is perfectly bisexual, he could have lust of homosexuality in his heart too. Just like a man who's got lust of drunkenness could have lust of murder. He could have lust of... It's what your heart's a cesspool. All God has to do is take the restraint off. You will do what any other man will do. Look here. He gave them up through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. That's why it's happening. We've worshipped man so long, God has turned. Recently, we've seen a huge falling away. It's what God said you'd see. You're going to see a falling away. You've seen a falling away because we've worshipped ourselves for so long. For 100 years now, we've called it the prosperity of America. And what it is the idol worship of you and me. And we've taken God out of it, and we've just come to the point we are now. And God has turned this nation over and a lot of people over all over the world. And I'm going to be very, very kind in what I'm saying because I have believing friends who have homosexual children. And they're so troubled by it and confused by it. And, you know, I'm going to show you, it doesn't necessarily mean God's turned everybody over to reprobation that falls into homosexuality. Just like it doesn't mean that he's turned a man over reprobation because he's a drunk. Let me show you this. Keep reading, though. Verse 26, for this cause, because we worshipped ourselves, God gave them up unto vile affections. Now, where do the vile affections come from? Our heart. That's lust that Christ described in the heart. Even their women did do what? They willfully, deliberately committed an act. They changed the natural use into that which is against nature. Do you see what I've been preaching to you? It started in the heart, came into the act. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. And look, here's the death it brings forth, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fit, which was meet. What is that? Death, disease, which are going to result in death. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, so they can't have God in their knowledge. And all they'll do is those things which are not convenient. And they'll take delight in them, and they'll pride themselves in them. Now, here's my third point. Turn over to Psalm 76 and verse 10. What keeps us all from committing, acting on the worst lusts in our hearts? If we all have these lusts in our hearts, what keeps us from acting on these lusts in our hearts? There's a twofold restraint that keeps us from acting on the lusts of our heart. There is a twofold constraint. Both of these restraints are the hand of God. One of them is just a restraint on men. The other is the restraint of God's grace. Now, first of all, the restraint of His power. This is not grace. This is just God restraining men. Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. I used the illustration Friday night when I preached this to the young people, how that I used to have this football field, one of those little electric games. It was a metal football field you set up your little football players on each side, you know, and they had the little base where you could kind of turn it to try to make them go the way you want them to go. And when you turned it on, it just made all kind of racket, vibrating metal, you know, and those little pieces just shimmied all over that board and banged into one another. And you'd kind of every now and then you might see the running back make a little progress, you know, and it was just a game. But all you had to do, if you didn't want those players to move at all, you just set your hand right down in front of them like that. And they could just bang up against it like that, but they couldn't go anywhere. They just held in place. That's what the restraining hand of God is. He can hold you in place, and you can't do what you'd like to do. That's what Paul said. You know, there's in the believer, there's two lusts. There's the lust of that new man and the lust of that old fleshly man. And he said, but by the Spirit of God, you can't do what you would. You can't do what that fleshly man would do because the Spirit of God's got His hand on you. Now, that's grace, but this here we're talking about is just God's power. You see, whatever wrath comes to pass, all this we see coming to pass in the world, as bad as it is, as much as it troubles you, you can be comforted in this. God's bringing glory to His name from it, or else it wouldn't be happening. And He's going to bring good to His people, or else it wouldn't be happening. There must needs be heresies. There must needs be these vile things going on in the world. No. There must needs be all men be saved? No. Why? There must needs be heresies that those which are approved may be made manifest. So that's how you see who God's approved and who God hasn't approved of. Who God's restraining and who God's not restraining. But whatever does not bring glory to His name, He restrains it. By His pure power, restrains it. But also, there's restraining grace. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 6. When God creates us anew, He puts a new man in these bodies of death. And He leaves that old man there. He leaves that old sinful, lustful flesh there because He uses that to show you that you don't have any power in your new man of you. All your power in your new man is God in you, Christ in you. He's the one that's the power and the life working in you. And God will let you fall sometimes just enough to show you you're getting too big for your britches. You don't have any power in you. Your strength is Christ alone. Now look here. Paul is dealing with the fact that there was fornication going on in the church that was worse than what was going on outside the Gentile world. And he was not just telling them that, you know, that's the heart, you can't help it. He was telling them, no, that's coming from your heart, and it's a deliberate choice. Now stop it. That's what he was saying to them. Now watch what he said, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Those who are given over to acts of these unrighteous deeds, because they're given over to their unrighteous heart, they are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Effeminate here is a male prostitute, a young male prostitute kept for the purpose of an older male man. Effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's that pretty word, homosexuality, that men give it. God says it's an abuse of man against himself with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Hold on to your seat. And such were some of you. You mean in the Corinthian church, God saved some male prostitutes? You mean in the Corinthian church, God saved some sodomites? Yes, He did. Yes, He did. And there were probably some there, some of all of them, who were guilty of all of these sins in their hearts. They just didn't come forth in the act. But there, he's saying here, these were acts. You were drunks. You were revilers. You were extortioners. You were homosexuals. All these things. Such were some of you. What made them stop those acts, those deliberate acts? Look. But you're washed, verse 11. But you're washed. The washing of regeneration. God gave a new heart. And you're sanctified. You've been set apart from those evil deeds. You've been set apart now to where you've got a heart that hates that sin now. And with God, motive is everything. You're going to fall into those acts. You're going to... But motive, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. And Lord, keep get me away from it. Separate me from it. And He separated His people. There's a new man there now that cannot sin, is created of God, that is Christ in you and you in Christ, united with Christ. And He says here, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All our sins, past, present, and future, are put away. Justified by the Spirit of our God. They're dwelling in you. Now watch for what He says. All things are lawful unto me. That means I'm not under the law of God at all. I'm not under the curse of the law. I fulfill the law, brethren. Right? Every believer has totally fulfilled the law. If you fulfill the law, and I'm saying in Christ alone, that means there can no sin can be laid to your charge. You're righteous. You are the righteousness of the law. So all things are lawful for me. The law wasn't made for a righteous man. The law was made for a sinner. All things are lawful to me, but now watch this. But all things are not expedient. You see, the world can legalize every sin that God forbids. They don't make it good for you. They don't make it expedient for you. Now watch this. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to be brought under the power of it. I'm not going to be brought to the point that I can't let it go. That's what He's saying. Now watch this. Meat is for the belly, and the belly is for meat. But God's going to destroy both it and them. Now, here's what's more important. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. You know why God created you, your body, believer? You know why He gave you a new heart? Body and spirit. You know why He did it? For the Lord. It's the Lord's. And the Lord is for you. That's what He's saying. Just like meat was made for your belly and your belly was made for meat, this new creation's made for the Lord and the Lord's made for this new creation. Now watch. God's raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Now watch what He said. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. You look at your bodies, you look at your fingers, that's Christ's finger. That's Christ's hand. That's Christ's arm. These are Christ's feet, His legs, His torso. This is Christ. You believer, we should look at our bodies just that way. These are Christ's bodies. Members of Christ. Members of Christ. Am I going to take Christ's members and use them for sinful acts? Look here. Verse 16, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? The greatest picture you have of the union we have in Christ is the husband and the wife. The faithful union. And He says here, these sexual sins, uniting yourself with a harlot. Male, male, female, female, are the opposite sex out of marriage. He says, he that's joined to a harlot's one body. For two, He said, shall be one flesh. I thought I was supposed to be one with the Lord. That's what He's saying. He's saying, you're supposed to be one with the Lord. You're going to make yourself one with a whore? And that one who's willing, both of them that are willing to do this, the male and the female, or both parties are the same sex, they're a whore. That's all they are. It's a whore. What folks used to pay money to have a whore. You don't join yourself with a whore. Verse 17, but he that's joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now watch what He says. Flee fornication. Flee fornication. And you could put every other sin there too. Every other act of sin. It's bad enough when you have it in the lust of your heart. That's sin before God. When it comes forth in the deed, it's worse. Flee it. Flee it before it becomes an act. When it just becomes a thought, flee it. Flee it. And let me give you an illustration. of what sin is. I use a roadkill a lot because it just is a gross thing to me. But you take a roadkill that's been there for a long time. Oh, stinking, full of maggots. Just awful. I see some of you sitting there just turning your stomach. You see, sin don't turn your stomach like that. I talk about sin, that don't do that. Why? You're like a fish in water. You don't even know what water is. You've been in sin from your birth and you don't even know what it is till God makes you know what it is. But here's what it is. It's just like, you see it? There's that roadkill and you lust after it. You're enticed for it. And so you just go and pick it up and pull it to your breast and hug on it, and kiss it, and take a bite of it, eat it, get those maggots all over you, all in you, through and through. That's every sin that comes in our heart that we commit. Now, what do we do when we see a stinking, putrid piece of roadkill? We flee from it, don't we? That's what he said to do. Flee from it. When it comes up in your heart, flee from it. Flee from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. This sexual sin is the worst sin because it's of your own body. It takes advantage and it demolishes it. Does dishonor to that beautiful picture of husband and wife, which pictures Christ and His bride. Now watch. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. What a price. Christ's precious blood. God's only begotten Son bought us, and we're His purchased possession. Ephesians 1 says we're His purchased possession. He owns us. He bought us. We're His. What's His? Look here. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your thoughts, in your spirit, which are God's. He bought you body and spirit. He owns it all. You see, when I talk about the flesh, I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about that old nature. You see, your body is God's. And your spirit's God's. And He says, worship God and glorify God with it. And if we do, you know who gets the glory? God does. Because He restrained us and He gave us the grace to honor Him in our bodies and in our spirit. But when we sin, who gets the glory for that? You and I do. We did it. We're the only one that can be blamed. We're saved, God gets the grace. If we perish, it's our own fault. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we pray now that You make it truly take effect in our hearts. Glorify Yourself through it. Thank You, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.